Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton. I'll be filling in for Greg Lancaster today as your host, and I do want to encourage you that Greg Lancaster will be back tomorrow.
All right.
Yes, we are excited about that.
Yes, we are.
So it's going to be very, very good. Pat, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I want to give a shout-out this morning, Pat, to our VFN Radio listeners. Mar Jane, how are you? I'm so encouraged. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to hear your voice Sunday. Karen, Mindy, Leo, Alex, all VFN Radio listeners, just recently, we're so happy that you have joined us. We are excited about today's program. So, Pat, talk to us. Talk to us, Pat. How was the weekend?
It was good.
Really?
Too short good? As always, but it was very good.
Don't
always can use an extra day or two, but you know.
Always can use an extra day. All right. All right.
I have to settle.
Well, I had an interesting thing happen to me, Pat.
Yeah.
This weekend. Yeah. Had to take my dog in to see the vet.
Uh oh. Is he all right?
Yeah. Well, you know, he's got some issues. He's had little issues. For those who don't know, I have a 75-pound Doberman. He's like a horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. His name is Diesel. Love him. But I took him in. Took him to this big place, right?
Yeah.
So you got to imagine this. Okay. There's dogs everywhere. And of course, you know, I walk in with little dogs. I walk in with my dog.
Right.
And people are like, parting ways, you know what I'm saying, like parting waters, you know, going to the other side. I think he's a man eater. He's just the most cuddly, adorable, harmless. It's just his teeth look big. That's all. He's harmless. He's playful, loving dog.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that they're terrified and they wouldn't believe me every time I say, come pet him. Oh, no. I mean, grown men were running. They were like dodging. Oh, yes. So you're in this line, you're waiting to see the vet, and it's kind of what they did. They set something up like in this pet store. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he needs to get just a couple of shots, and he gets some other things, which I can't even talk about. I feel like I was part of I was watching a fence take place, and they're doing an inspection there for him. I had to turn my head there. I can't even talk about that procedure. Okay, we're just gonna talk about what happened though.
All right.
So here I am. Standing in line with my dog, trying to mind my own business, trying to keep my dog, who's barking now at every little dog, this big dog, and scaring half the place. And I'm like, Diesel, you are embarrassing me. Cut it out. Knock it off. You're embarrassing me. Sit down. So I'm standing, you know, talking with my other son and just, you know, enjoying each other's fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden I say, do you smell that? What is that? And I just happened to look down, Pat, at my right side.
No.
And Diesel.
No.
Diesel did not exercise his best judgment. He did not exercise.
What kind of manners are you teaching that dog?
Listen. I don't know. But this was bad, man. I mean, listen, with a big dog, you got big stuff. You know what I mean?
In the office.
Dude, it was.
In the waiting room.
Long hallway behind me, dog upon dog. And then it had these little kids. You know, little kids say the darndest things. Ew, mommy, what is that? Do you smell that? I mean, now by this time, everybody in the place smelled that. I see the lady in the front walking with her hands, you know, straight up with paper towels and all this stuff. Yes, ma'am. It's my dog. Yes, it's us here. It's... Talk about horrific experiences.
Gosh.
Oh, not to mention that he leaked a couple times other places. I'm like, Diesel, what is wrong with you? What is happening?
He was excited.
didn't think I'd need to bring baggies to go take him to the vet, but
wow,
it was something, man. It was something.
I bet. So, glad I wasn't there.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that were glad that they weren't there, and it happened while I was there. They were thrilled about that. So we quickly got it up and got Diesel checked out. But let me tell you something. You don't want to stand behind a big dog when he's got to do what he's got to do, because it's not a pretty sight. We didn't want to gross you out this morning, but we do have an exciting program and exciting time for us to get together today. I do want to say special just thanks. I mean, just a special appreciation to the Lord. You know that Tony and Sophia were in an accident yesterday, and praise God, they're absolutely safe.
Praise God.
But man, it could have been very horrific when a car just backed straight into the side of your car. I mean, a miracle to just get clobbered.
Mm-hmm.
And car not looking too nice, but you know, insurance is going to take care of that. But but as far as people are concerned, everybody's safe. So that's pretty good. Very exciting. Also, coming up this week, Pat, actually tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The 9/11, September 11th, anniversary.
Right. Wow.
Could you believe it's been 11 years?
Oh, man. It's amazing.
Mm. 11 years.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's just amazing how that's something that just doesn't, I mean, and I don't think it would ever, could ever be erased. Or it's like, I think it's forever etched in our memories.
Oh, yeah. I remember exactly where I was when it happened.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And what you were going through, and I'm sure we're going to be sharing some more about that tomorrow. But we wanted just to remember one of the things from that experience that I remember is the overwhelming of unity that you saw in the country, the overwhelming love and support.
Mm-hmm.
You know that the kind of the whole nation just came together, and it was a brief moment in time where even just all the politicians, everyone was just on one page. And it's one thing, you know, that America stands together when threatened and attacked. But I remember even somebody came over to the UN and was just totally disrespecting. I think it was President Bush. And it was a Democrat who had normally been in arguments or just, you know, different opinions with the president. And I remember him saying, "Listen, on the news, we may have our own arguments here. But you're not going to come to our country. You know, you're not going to come here and talk about our president that way." You know, and I just thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we could stand, put aside the differences and stand together as one nation. Because, you know, we're all humans and we're all in this together.
That's right.
And it was really cool to see how all the other countries and citizens from around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just had no idea that I would see when I saw, you know, people in the UK crying. I just
countries. That's amazing.
Yeah, that blew me away. I just didn't expect that they would. I don't know why I didn't, but I didn't expect that they would have that type of compassion and outcry.
Mm-hmm.
But we do want to thank God that since then there, you know, we have not experienced another attack on this nation. And we're just so thankful for that.
Right.
And just so blessed.
Absolutely.
I know that the Freedom Towers are still working on it. I have relatives actually working on that tower, Pat.
Oh, wow.
Sure do. Yeah. And it's going to be a beast. They're going to finish it sometime. I don't know how long it's going to take.
Right. Another 10 years.
They're still working on it. But I know they have a memorial and all of that down there. And Pat, Greg and I walked to the World Trade Center site when he was in town. And it was just one of those things, man. We thank God that we're safe. We thank God that we haven't had any other attacks. But in some encouraging and great and wonderful news, I don't know if our VFN radio listeners have heard this, and Pat, I'll share it with you, but you know, several weeks ago, and we mentioned it here on VFN radio, and we, for years now, have been praying for Pastor Youssef. Pastor Youssef is the Iranian pastor.
Right, right.
That was arrested 3 years ago.
Wow.
3 years ago for sharing his Christian faith, for sharing Jesus, for evangelizing Muslims. And he was sentenced, Pat. He was sentenced to three – well, he was sentenced He's been in jail, been in prison for 3 years, and they wanted to kill him.
Right. They execute him.
They sure did. They wanted to execute him. And we said that 3 weeks ago that there was another court hearing that was going to come up, and it was Saturday. They released them. I think it was on the 7th or the 8th, in which they were going to just look at everything again and say, you know, what's the deal? There's been a huge outcry, but I know that so many believers, so many Christians have been praying for Pastor Youssef. We all, the VFN Radio listeners, ourselves, we've been joining together, and we've been praying, and we've been praying, and for his release, for his life.
Right.
And I'm happy to announce he was released Saturday.
Wow, praise God.
Pastor Youssef was released Saturday.
That's huge. Awesome.
We just want to thank the Lord so much and thank everyone who prayed for Pastor Youssef. Huge. Mm. You know, back in 2009, he was protesting the government's decision to force all children, including his own children, to read the Quran. He did not want that. He lives in Iran. He did not want that.
Right.
And so he like I said, he was initially charged. They were given like protest charge, all that type of stuff. And then later he was charged for apostasy and evangelism. Mm. And in 2010, he was sentenced. And then he went to the Supreme Court, I guess, in Iran, and they upheld that decision. But under Islamic Sharia law, you know, we talk about Sharia. We talk about how there is a movement to bring Sharia law into these United States, right? This
Crazy.
Republic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Sharia law says, that an apostate has 3 days to recant.
Mm-hmm.
3 days. And Pastor Youssef, I mean, our brother here, he refused to recant his faith. They wanted him to deny Jesus Christ, Pat.
All right.
And he would not do it. Mm. He would not do it. He would not bow down.
Mm.
And I think about that. My goodness, I get so encouraged. You talk about the awesomeness of our God, the beautifulness of the Lord, that once you encounter an awesome, loving relationship with Jesus, my goodness, I mean, you can't turn back.
Mm-hmm.
He so changes your life. He so revolutionizes your life that, like Peter, Lord, where else am I going to go? You have the words of eternal life. You saved me, and I'm indebted for you forever.
Mm.
I mean, what religion? What? I mean, come on. That invokes such amazing commitment of love to say, no, do you know who Jesus is? Do you know what Jesus has done for me? Do you know?
Mm.
Not now, not today, not never. And I believe that Pastor Youssef obviously was even prepared to even give his own life, to give his own life. And he was just faithful to stick, stay, and stand. And I'm reminded in the Word of God about three young men who did the same: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yeah,
they refused, man. That's refused. Right. You know, King Nebuchadnezzar set up this giant idol of himself. Catch a clue.
All right.
I'm saying, catch a clue. And they were supposed to bow down to this idol. And of course, you know, people that did not like them at the time were basically ratting them out and saying, hey, listen, these three guys, these three Israelites, they're not bowing down to you.
Mm-hmm.
So he brought them before him, and he said, listen, if you don't bow down to me, he said, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you did not serve my gods or worship the image or the gold that I've set up? And basically says, if you don't bow down, basically, I'm going to throw you into this furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, he makes the mistake, Pat, of saying this statement, then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? What God? He didn't know that he was setting up the stage. Oh, I'm going to show you what God.
That's right.
I'm about to show you.
That's right.
It is about to be revealed to you, King Nebuchadnezzar.
That's right.
And I love what they say, Pat. I mean, this is in the spirit of Pastor Youssef, in the spirit of those that are still being hostage all around the world, being persecuted, believers that refuse to bow down to any other false god but Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They say, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, if The God we serve is able to save us from it and will rescue us from your hand, O King. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O King, that he will not, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the gold you have set up. I mean, they said, hey, listen, God's going to save us. But let me tell you something. Even if he did it, just make it plain, you know, let me erase any kind of thought in your mind, any false ideologies here.
Right.
If he didn't rescue us, we're willing to perish. We're willing to go because we cannot deny him. And so as the story goes, right, in Daniel, that it was a fourth man in the fire. There's a fourth man in the fire, and Jesus was there, and they didn't even get burned. Not a hair was singed on their arm. And I want to tell you that even if you're going through a trial in your life, and maybe you've even wondered, you know, where is God? Maybe you've even thought about, you know, others have told you in your family or in your friends, your coworkers, man, why are you so religious and why are you so on fire for God? And why, I mean, it just seems that everything doesn't seem to work out for you. And you just keep having all these trials and you're comparing your life, which maybe we, you know, the Bible says it warns us not to, but you're comparing your life maybe to others who don't serve God. And you're saying, and the enemy has been tempting you just to deny him. Let me tell you that he's the fourth man in the fire. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he is the burden bearer, that God is with you like he was with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, like he was with Pastor Yusef, like, you know, he was when Jesus was facing the darkest hour and he was on the, God is with you. Things don't always, are not with what they appear. That if you stick, if you stay and you stand with God and you refuse to bow your knee to the enemy and you don't give up, right? And you don't shut up, but you stand firm for God and you still declare his word. Let me tell you that God will see to it that what the enemy meant for evil, believe God, he will turn for good. What the enemy meant for evil. I mean, you think about Joseph and he went through all the trials that he went through and he was sold out by his brothers. He was sold out into slavery. He was thrown unjustly in prison. I mean, he helped the baker out. He helped the butler out. And then they both forgot him. He had this, the Potiphar's wife lie on him. Think about it, the worst thing you get to lie is like, oh my goodness, I'm trying to get with my bosses. It's like, are you kidding me? And yet, what? He didn't deny God. He didn't walk away from the Lord. He didn't say, oh, where is God? He stayed faithful. And guess what? There was a time, there was a moment, there was a season. His time was up. That God raised him and pulled him out of that place. And he became the second man in charge of all of Egypt. The most powerful men in an entire nation. It was not even his own nation. But God was faithful. God was faithful. Listen, you're not done yet. Don't judge your situation yet. It ain't over. Tell your, it ain't over.
It ain't over.
Right? You can make it. God is there with you. He is the fourth man in the fire, and he'll see you through. And I'm just encouraged by Brother Yusef. I'm encouraged that he's out. He's with his family. You know, Pat, he has two small children. He's married.
Right.
And to think what that family just, you know, suffered not having, you know, the father at home and those type of things. You just think, wow, God, you're incredible. You're amazing. And I'm excited for what's going to happen now in Iran.
I know. Right?
I'm excited for the gospel to continue to go forth. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I think about that. You know, Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney, you know, began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, you know, we just got to get, you know, men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
You know, and what got birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. I think about, you know, that, you know, Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Wow. And then when he would preach once, think about it, when he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
And what we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people. All across the nation, we've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come and they like us on Facebook or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see where think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome, awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him, but with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled at the end of that month yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month, maybe it's $2 a month, maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once, and look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
I actually thought
about you yesterday when I looked out my window and saw this big old giant beaver in the backyard.
Oh, you saw it?
Oh,
it's,
wow.
It's true, isn't it? Is it not true? It's true.
It is true. It is true.
Is it a beaver or is it some sort of like monster from the lagoon or something?
I have no idea what it is. Is it a beaver, badger? I don't know. All I know, it's big, fat, and furry. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're talking about the beaver, right?
That's right.
Well, did you get a picture of it?
I tried taking a picture of it, but it got very grainy, you know. But I tried.
This is sort of like the Loch Ness monster. You know, nobody's gonna believe us unless you get a picture.
I know it. I was quick on the draw, but it got so hazy. But he was just standing there all alone, minding his own business, and I took one turn and he was gone.
Yeah, it sounds like Loch Ness to me. I don't know if this is true or not. We're gonna have to document
this. Get the picture.
Put a video on this puppy. We gotta show it, man. They're not gonna put things in New Jersey comes out of hole sometimes that you just don't know what happened there. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness. Wow. All kinds of animals.
Yeah. But it's true. I wanna see this thing. Is it a beaver or is it a monster? I mean, that's a huge hole.
It is a huge hole.
My imagination had all kinds of things to come out of the hole. I was sitting there on those steps that were thinking, you know, like, what's this big hole beside me? He starts talking about this huge thing, you know, comes out of there and lays out in the sun. I'm thinking, oh, in Florida, we call that on the beach, you know, get the tan. He's got like monsters coming out of the ground up here in Jersey.
And it's a huge hole.
Is, I know, man. I totally know that. Well,
welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me today is Pat Hamilton. Well, Pat, I have good news for you, and I have great news for Gray.
Oh, yeah?
My son is working on a trap. He told me this weekend he's working on a trap. He said, Dad, can I kill it? I said, just trap him first. Let's not try to kill the animal, okay?
Right,
he's
right.
Like, yeah, but she's like, I want to hunt it. I said, well, go ahead and trap it, okay? Work on your trap.
Has he been watching Turtle Man?
Say that again.
Has he been watching the Turtle Man?
No, who's a Turtle Man?
Oh, you haven't seen that?
No.
It's, I guess, on Discovery. Animal Planet. This guy, he's nuts, dude. He catches anything, anywhere, anyhow.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. He'd come to your house. You call him up, he'll come to your house and trap that thing.
Really? Oh, my goodness. We may have to call the Turtle Man. Oh, my goodness. Well, he's working hard on it, man. He said him and his friend have been putting a plan together, and they got all kinds of stuff. He says he keeps taking away our bait and not getting in our trap, so we got to keep working on it. So, okay, knock yourself out. But I am going to get a video of this thing. I am going to get a video.
Yeah, you need to get some footage before he disappears.
Oh, it's huge. Trust me. Them holes seem to keep getting bigger, too. So I didn't want to fill it up, the hole yet, because I want to catch them. So we're actually coming back, and I wanted to share it's still God's news behind the news with our Video Fan Radio listeners, and welcome you for joining us this morning. But, you know, I shared some statistics last week regarding where much of the church has been, according to George Parner poll. But I just actually saw a new poll, Pat, a new poll that was done by the Christian Lifeway Research, and they surveyed 2,400 Protestants. And what their study was about transformational discipleship, and what they found was that according to their results, that 19% of respondents said that they read the Bible outside of their church services, their gatherings, okay, every day. Only 19% of believers read their Bible every day, and that 18%. Rarely or never. Rarely. So almost 40% of believers that are not reading the Word of God daily. And, you know, I think that that's troubling. That's, you know.
Very troubling.
Yeah. It's troubling. But oftentimes I think that, you know, we have failed. There's so many things that are vying for people's attention these days. I mean, you look at the iPads, you think about the iPhones, you think about the tablets, you think about the internet. I mean, if you don't set time to spend with God, there are so many distractions today that were not, you know, available to our grandparents' generation.
Right.
I mean, my grandmother, she's 92. She looks at a computer, she's like, what is that?
Uh-huh.
And you're like, look at this video. She's like, ooh. She's like amazed.
All right.
But she has no grid for it.
Yeah.
Zero. And they didn't have those type of distractions to pull them away. Mm-hmm. And it's not to make any excuse, but because we are aware of those distractions, they rob us, believers, of the opportunity, if we allow it to, mm-hmm. to spend time with God daily. Right. And we don't spend time with God because we got to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you ask the average believer today, well, what, you know, what, you know, do you read your Bible? Yeah, well, yeah, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. And it's like, really? Mm-hmm. It's what we get to do.
Right.
We just need to flip. That's not what we got to do. It's what we get to do, that every day we get the opportunity to have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You may never speak to maybe a high government official or the president or whoever, you know. You may not ever have access with, but you have access with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm. And I want to talk about the Word of God today. You know, the Word, I said before that it's not an outdated book. It's the living book. You know, it's relevant today, and God's speaking, and it's His love letter to us.
Right.
Hebrews 4:12 says, Pat, that for the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God is living and active. It's the only book that comes with the author. You know, the Holy Spirit wrote the book through men, you know, but it's the only book that the author's present. If you're a believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ into your life, the Holy Spirit is present in your life, and He's the one that actually reveals His Word, reveals the Word to you. It's living and it's active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to even dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And get this, it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. Mm. We're talking about the Bible. We're talking about God's Word. And when we sit down with God's Word, when we sit down, we often talk about abiding. And abiding is simply sitting down and reading God's Word and listening to what God would have to say. Maybe a scripture will seem to kind of, maybe we often say jump off the page. It literally doesn't jump off the page, but maybe just you're reading something and all of a sudden just your attention is drawn to that one verse or those two verses that you read, or maybe even a word.
Right.
And you just kind of pause. And maybe you'll journal that down in a journal. You know, you take time to mark out what it is that in God's Word that penetrated, that spoke to you. And if God's giving you a direction and you want to follow it, if He's giving you a warning, you definitely want to obey it. If He is reaffirming His love to you, you certainly want to accept it. Mm-hmm. You know, but it's so multifaceted, and God's Word speaks to you on so many different fronts, and it allows us to know God and experience God. In fact, John 1:1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God in the beginning. I mean, God and the Word, Jesus. I mean, they're just one. It's in a beautiful dynamic. Mm-hmm. That the Word of God became flesh.
Right.
And so we get a chance, Pat. We get a chance. Not I got to, but I get to. Because we heard something yesterday in regards to love, and hopefully we'll get a chance to discuss it today, Pat. It was just a great, great message that we heard, and Greg shared it. It was wonderful in regards to loving God on His terms with all of our heart. And one of the things that he said was so dynamic is that lovers work harder than workers for God.
That's right.
And when you love God, and your heart is stirred for Him, you're not reading the Bible because you got to, but you're reading because you get to. You want to know. You want to be aware of what He is saying. You want to know what the Word of God is for you that day.
Right.
I mean, people read newspapers. I you know, sometimes people are tempted to read all types of different things to get them life and direction. Let me tell you, you know, there's nothing like the Word of God to give you direction in your life. Mm-hmm. No horoscope, no fortune in a what do they call those crackers?
Yeah.
Fortune cookies. Fortune cookie, I mean, none of those things can give you direction.
Mm-mm.
There's no hocus pocus. I mean, this is the Word of God. Proverbs 30, verse 5 says that every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. That every word of God is flawless. When you think of the word flawless, you think about, like, you know, I don't know, having no defects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about diamonds. You know, right. Think about, do they have any flaws?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or anything like that. Or it's just, it's perfect. It's without error.
Mm-hmm.
It's without error.
Right.
It's flawless. God's word is flawless. And I've been seeing that one of the ways that we can grow in our relationship with God, and one of the ways that we can grow in knowing him and experiencing him, is when we sit down and actually read his word.
Right.
We actually read it. I mean, if you know, sometimes you look at people's diaries, and we look at what George Washington did, and we look at all these different people, they've accomplished all these things, and you wonder, what did they say? What was their last letters? You care because you want to know. I mean, God's word speaks to us in so many different fronts.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to know. We want to know. I see that many times, you know, there's all sorts of reading materials. Now you have iPads. Man, you can get books galore. E-books, yeah. And I mean, there's no short access to books these days. There's no short access to information.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I forget
overload.
Tell me about it. I mean, it's like everywhere you go, they're creating tablets just for you to read.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just so they can download an ebook. Forget having to go buy a book. It's just like digital, instant, mm-hmm. instant.
Right.
And so they often have, you know, suggested reading materials. And what's interesting about the word of God, we're talking about the flawless word of God. Listen, it's a highly suggested reading material. It's so important that we take that chance. When you look at the Bible, though, and you think about amazing how it even came to pass. Pat, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible was written over 1,500 years, over 40 generations, 66 individual books from Genesis to Revelation, written by 40 different authors, from fishermen to poets to statesmen, okay, to shepherds, written in three languages,
wow.
Hebrew, Aramaic, and the Greek, okay? And you find Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. I can tell 20 people in a room one thing and have them whisper it ear to ear to ear, and by the time it gets to the 20th person, it is a different statement than what I told the first person.
That's all right.
And you're going to tell me it's a coinkydink? That over 1,500 years, 66 different books. This is now with no different emails. And then they couldn't send, you know, this is what I wrote, you know, 500 years ago. I want you to keep this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is found from Genesis all the way to Revelation.
Mm.
Think about that circulation. There has been more copies of the Bible produced than any other book in history. God's word is flawless. How is it that this book, this living book, still is so relevant and speaks to our lives situation every single day? It's timeless.
Mm.
There's been more evidence, more scientific and historical evidence to prove that even, you know, genealogies and things about the Bible than some of the oldest books that are being taught in all these colleges and universities.
Right.
No other book. Listen to this. The Bible has outlasted many people's attempts to ban it, burn it, and get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get rid of the Word of God.
No.
I mean, it's like, catch a clue. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let's stop the press. Let's when we look back and realize that maybe it's not precious. You know, one of the things that we're living in such a blessed land,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, in some Christian homes, we may have 5, 6, 7, 10 Bibles. I mean, with so many Bibles out today, I mean, I don't even remember 10 years ago, you can get a Bible in any other color but black. You know? And if you really got fancy, maybe you got one in maroon. I mean, but that, hey, don't get crazy now. You know?
Right.
But in the last 10 years, you can get it in pink cover, blue covers, leather. I mean, they even have a metal Bible. Metal, you know, the outside cover of it, rather. You know what I'm saying?
It's case,
like, yeah, something for teenagers, I guess, but they have children's Bibles, women's Bibles, men's Bibles, you know, and just different perspective. And the Bible's the Word of God, but when they say they have different versions, just different things that cater to, you know, little extra little things that, that would minister, encourage, you know, the men in the Bible, or encourage the ladies in the Bible, or children rather, you know.
Mm-hmm, right.
And with so many Bibles available to us today, you would think that our everyone would be reading it even more.
Yeah.
And it's still relevant. I mean, this is not about vain philosophies, but about real truth.
Mm-hmm.
No book has been more scrutinized. No book has been more challenged, yet it still remains true. Mm-hmm. Because it's living, it's active. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. I encourage you that even Jesus said, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That we've got to be a people that live out of the abundance and the overflow of spending time with God. And, you know, people, there's reasons. I mean, I can understand. There's reasons why, you know, people sometimes have a desire, believers have a desire to spend time and read God's word, but they have challenges. You know, one challenge is that they just don't understand. Maybe you got a version and it's in maybe 1611 or just an older version where they don't speak that type of, you know, language today. I want to encourage you. You know, you can get an NIV version Bible that many people are reading, and that's a version that's maybe more in everyday language that you can understand. But I can get that. If you don't understand, it's kind of, you know, we don't speak with thou, owl, you know, thou art and all that. You know,
all right.
I get it. And then oftentimes people are like, I don't know where to start. Someone told me to start in Leviticus, and I'm in my 10th chapter of laws right now and dietary diet. So I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just don't have a plan and you don't know where to begin. And then you say, you know, I don't have a time. I don't have a place. I don't have a, you know what? I encourage you that if you have a set time, if you have a set place, if you have a Bible that you can understand, you can put yourself in a position to spend time with God on a daily basis. And you can take a 6-week challenge. You take a 6-week challenge and say, you know what? I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to read God's word. I am going to abide. I mean, there's people taking challenges every day. I'm going to lose 5 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to save more money. We're going to go on vacation. And we're going to set a Christmas club. Take a 6-week challenge to spend time with Jesus, spend time in his word. I'll never forget this statement. I was in college, Pat, and I was reading some book. And the author was this kind of like business book or something. And the author said, what is the one thing that you're not doing today? The one thing that you're not doing that if you started doing every day would revolutionize and change your life.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't remember anything else about the entire book, but that one statement. And I'm telling you, it was like a bomb that just went off in me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, that is so profound. Could there be such a thing?
Right.
Could there be such a thing that if it was just one thing that I focused on doing every single day of my life would revolutionize and change my life?
Mm-hmm.
And instantly, Pat, I heard in my mind, I bet if you read the Bible, I bet it'll change your life.
Yeah.
I bet if you read the Bible. And it, that was just the beginning for me.
Mm-hmm.
That was just the beginning. And I'm telling you that I've been on a journey. Others have been on a journey of reading God's word, listening to what he has to say,
mm-hmm.
honoring it by writing it down, and further honoring it, the word of God, by obeying what it says.
Right.
And I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. You can live this dynamic walk with God. You can have an awesome a relationship with him because he cares about you. You as an individual, you have access to him. But if you need a simple plan, if you need a simple plan to get started, that the main thing is just to get started. Just to take the first step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your first step oftentimes will affect, you know, determine God's next step.
Right.
if you draw close to God, God will draw close to you. It's your inheritance. If you're a believer and you know God, don't settle for a quarter visit, a month looking, or just temporarily glancing in it. But develop a plan. Get a plan and stay consistent, and you're going to see God move powerfully in your life. You can get a plan at iAbide. That's iabide.org. iAbide.org. And get ready. Get ready for God to change your life as you read His Word, the flawless Word of God. We'll be right back. If you've ever looked at the church and have thought to yourself, these people are just way too perfect for me to come around them. And you know what? You and I are a lot alike. That was my story. I thought everyone in the church was just perfect, and I was the only one with issues. But guess what? Everyone that comes to Jesus has a background. We don't come to Jesus because we're perfect. We come to Jesus because we need a Savior. And you know, I was at that place. I was at that place where things weren't going right in my life. I was away from God. I was in sin. I was chasing after the world, trying to find an identity, trying to find myself. And the more I kept looking for myself, the more I went deeper and deeper into sin. But then I had an encounter. I had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that happened, everything changed. Yeah, my life wasn't perfect, but I met the one who is perfect. And with that, I'm absolutely okay. I want to encourage you to read my story. You can read other stories of people that were not perfect, but people who met the perfect one. Mm-hmm. You can go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before, and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive.
Mm-hmm.
That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that He's speaking to me, and I find that His word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible, because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and He's going to engage you. iAbide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
Oh, my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFNTV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFNTV. Dude, John, I was opening up my mail the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I got an offer to subscribe to a magazine. Check this out. They wanted $25 a month. Not a year, a month.
Hey, $25 a month. Come on. Are you serious?
Yeah. That didn't even get a second look. I was like, no, like $25, trash. That's where that went. I was like, that ain't jiving, you know?
I bet. $25.
Not going to work. But get this. Did you know that there you what you can subscribe for free?
What?
VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber. You get more content. You get the downloads. You get to see more of what is not heard, more of what's not talked about on the daily VFN radio program. Check it out. VFNTV.com. Become a subscriber.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Pat. Pat, it is Monday. Yes. And oh my goodness, we are coming close to the end of the first hour already. Oh my goodness, we shared so much already in the first hour, but we are celebrating and rejoicing at the fact that Brother Yusef is released.
Amen.
Man, I am so pumped about that.
That is cool.
Isn't that amazing? Is awesome.
Amazing. God is good.
He didn't bow down.
Nope.
He didn't bow down.
Nope.
And God set him free. And
pulled him out of the flames.
Very good. Very good. And the flawless word of God, man. Mm. 1,500 years, Pat.
Amazing.
66 different books.
Wow. Just 1,500. I thought it was longer than that.
Think about it.
Wow.
You know, all these different authors. Obviously, the Holy Spirit, you know, empowered each man to, you know, but amazing.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is still speaking to us today. I'm to cherish the Word of God. Ask God to continue to give you a love for His Word. Honor His Word, you know. I don't like to put anything over my Bible or have, you know, I don't put my Bible on the floor or any just place where it could be. If you treasure God's Word, I'm telling you, God will give you just have it a special place in your heart. I don't leave it on the windowsill of the car. I don't leave it anywhere. I take my Bible everywhere I go because I want it in my heart. I want God to speak to me. Mm-hmm. I want to read His Word when I wake up, and I want to read a little bit of His Word when I go to bed. But I want the first thing to hit my eyes and the first thing to hit my mind and my spirit and my soul is God's Word.
That's right.
And before I go to bed, if I'm going to get a chance, and I'd love to do that as well, just through the praying, but I just love marinating on His Word.
Mm.
Powerful.
Amen.
Powerful. The powerful word of God. Well, I do want to share our top three with our VFN radio listeners. I'm so encouraged, but every time I see someone posting or going to the torch and sharing an article and a radio segment, I'm telling you, it's so encouraging. But the top three, we're talking about the top three stories on the torch. Those that our VFN radios are listening, watching, reading. Number one is in full view, Pat, in full view. This is a great segment that was done. And, you know, in a time where everything is tracked and being recorded and seen everywhere, video cameras out the gazoo, you know, we're reminded that, you know what, don't worry about what video cameras can see, but we're reminded that the eyes of God are always watching.
That's right.
And Moment of Wisdom was found in Proverbs 5. It says, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and He examines all of His paths.
Mm-hmm.
And we just encourage everyone in this segment that, hey, let's live before the eyes of God and not live before the eyes of men. And so many people are doing so many things these days to live before an audience of men that have no effect on your life. Zero.
That's right.
You know, effect, you know, I often share with teenagers and other, you know, those that are going to school. Listen, you are not going to see these people in high school again. What are you, who talks about, you know, you're not going to see them again. Don't spend the rest of your life worrying about, well, Bubba or Jimmy or Susie or Ricky or, you know, Thomas, Dexter, whoever, whatever they have to say. You gotta live for God. God's eyes are upon you. And in today's culture, I mean, everyone's living for somebody else, you know, living for a picture or this or that. And it's like, you know what? Live in such a way to know that the eyes of God, His eyes are upon you. All your ways are in full view, which is excellent. You know, if you're doing the right thing, it's all good.
That's right.
Remember when you were playing sports, you always like, look back, who's watching, you know? Daddy's watching. God's watching.
That's right.
Daddy, God's watching. He's watching you. He's watching you abide. He's watching you try. He's watching you. You know, every time that you try to do the right thing for Him, God's eyes are upon you. He's seeing everything that you're doing for him, and he sees straight into your heart. We talked about that. You know, God had the original X-ray vision. You know, he sees it all. You know, that's very good. That's right. The second one is wisdom hates pride and arrogance. That's a keeper.
Yes, definitely.
That's a really, I'm glad to see that that's up. But when you're talking about wisdom, hates pride and arrogance. And this is another moment of wisdom. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't downloaded the app, if you haven't downloaded the BFN TV and the Daily Video Program app, you need to download it. You can go to Google Play. You can go to the App Store for your Apple, and you can type in BFN TV and hit search. And when you do, you can download it. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. But when you have the app, you have BFN Radio on the go. So you have all these different segments. It's always being uploaded. It's always being new things are always being added, new segments, highlights,
right.
Original intent of the church. You have original intent of the nation.
Right.
You have moments of wisdom, first hour, second hour.
Right.
I mean, you
words
name
of prophecy.
It. Oh, prophetic words of prophecy. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so I love my app. I use it daily. And I'm all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very encouraging. Make sure you download it. And also write a review. Write a review. It encourages others that are coming to download the app to see how the VFN radio program has encouraged and inspired and activated you to do what God's called you to do. But in this wisdom moment, wisdom hates pride and arrogance. You know, it says that wisdom is present when there is prudence and knowledge and there is someone who's willing to make tough decisions that wisdom demands. And that's so important. You know, wisdom needs to be present in your life so much that you're repulsed by pride and arrogance. And pride and arrogance will take us down. Mm-hmm. Wisdom hates pride and arrogance. And we just got to get it out of our life. I remember someone said that, you know, don't look to see if you have any pride. Look to see if you have any humility.
Right.
The presence of humility, trust me, will prove to you and show to you that pride and arrogance is not in your life. So don't look for pride and arrogance. Look for humility.
Right.
And the last one I'm going to share with you is innocent blood killing the children to stop our deliverance. This was a powerful segment on the radio, and it's a lot of people are still listening to, because the word of God is timeless. But from the very beginning, God was raising up men to deliver his people. I mean, from Genesis, right from the beginning.
That's right.
And Satan has always tried to steal and kill and destroy the believers. He's always tried to come against God's plan. So since he never knew who the deliverer was, he was always into these mass killings of children and babies. Mm-hmm. And today, Pat, we've seen over 50 million abortions in this nation, 50 million. And we did some calculations on one of our radio programs, and we found out, you know, with different states, what the populations were, that 50 million people, 50 million babies that have been aborted, sacrificed to Molech.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That represents 25 states of the 50 states. 25 states have a population of 50 million.
Mm.
That's huge. That's huge.
Wow.
And as a church, we just need to repent. We need to turn our hearts back to God and ask God to forgive us for the innocent killing of children, to forgive us. And so these are the top three in the torch. I encourage you to listen and watch and view and share. Of course, Facebook, wonderful source, wonderful tool. We're coming to the end of our first hour. I want to encourage you that in our extra hour, we're going to have a word of wisdom. We're going to talk more about the Constitution and so much more. So much more. We're going to share about the cost of following Jesus. You're going to be impacted. You're going to be challenged. And we pray and believe that you're going to be stirred. You're going to be stirred. Also, don't forget to check the torch for different prophetic words. The prophetic words are being loaded. They're being uploaded, like I said. And you'll be able to see and hear and watch in more detail. The torch allows you to go deeper and allows you to see more of everything, because we can't share everything on the radio. We only have a few hours, but the torch allows you to take it to the next step. Well, we'll be back.
Oh my goodness, we have come to the end of the first hour. Thank you so much for tuning into VFN Radio. God bless you guys. You cannot stay with us for the extra hour. You have a wonderful day. And we'll be right back in just a few moments. We'll see you on the other side.